5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's Friday, and that means we always try to chat with Brett Baer when we can, when we're lucky. At this time on Friday. Good morning to you, Brett Baer. Brian Wilson and Katie Pavlich in today.
Good morning, Brett.
How are you?
All right, so I want to start off. I understand, first of all, let's just get this programming note out of the way. You've got a special on Sunday, and this is something new that you're going to be doing between now and the end of the election.
Yes. 6 days a week for Special Report. Special Report on Sunday is 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Prime time. We'll wrap up the Sunday shows, kind of look forward to the week ahead, and that'll start this weekend, the 11th, and go through Election Day. So we're excited. It'll kind of be Special Report during the week on steroids.
And can I also point out that Britt Hume is back on the air. There have been some programming changes there.
There have. Greta's left, and Britt has taken over On the Record at 7 p.m., so, which is, you know, kind of interesting in that I took over for Britt January 5th, 2009, and little did I know I would be tossing to him in 2016.
Isn't that funny how those things come full circle?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's exciting he's back, for sure. Well, let's get back to a little bit of policy. This week we saw Clinton and Trump sparring about national security and the military. You had David Axelrod, I believe it was yesterday, saying that Clinton came off as defensive. Matt Lauer's getting a lot of heat for not being fair to Clinton and for giving Trump some passes. What did you see coming out of that forum we saw?
Yeah, listen, I mean, I heard the criticism of Lauer. I'll just tell you that having moderated both debates and forums and town halls, you know, it's not easy. You're up against the clock. You're trying to get in as much as you can. And in the situation of a town hall like that, a forum, you are the check. And, you know, in a regular debate, the opponents usually do a lot of the, you know, pushing back on different things. So I felt for him. I think that, there were a couple times he definitely could have followed up on especially on the Iraq thing with Trump. But overall, I don't think either of the candidates had a great night as far as, you know, articulating why they should be commander-in-chief on a foreign policy front.
Well, one of the big criticisms of the questioning was that there was too much time spent on Hillary Clinton's emails, right? So, but we saw this week, this advice from Colin Powell to Hillary Clinton in her emails. What do you make of what we've seen on that?
Well, I don't think that the Powell email exonerates Clinton. I think it's another element to the story. I do think that, you know, from what she said at the beginning, from that UN press conference, to what she said at the candidate forum the other night, you know, the answer on classified emails has evolved dramatically. And, you know, even though the FBI did not move forward with prosecution, what Comey said and what he testified to is pretty damning when you put it up against the statements that she's made publicly. So while legally she's, I think, over the hurdle, I think politically there's still, you know, a lot of there.
You know, we were talking earlier this morning about the decision by the Justice Department and U.S. attorneys not to go after Bob McDonnell a second time. That's in the wake, of course, of the Supreme Court saying that they overstepped in that case. But we've also sort of come to the conclusion that it may have been a decision by the political folks there, given the fact that if they went after Bob McDonnell, it would be very hard to say, well, then we should also, how can we not go against Hillary Clinton, who's done basically the same thing for donors from the Clinton Global Initiative when she was Secretary of State?
Yeah, I think that for all the focus on the emails and the classified emails and what she said and the BlackBerries that were hammered and, you know, destroyed and the ones they can't find. I think that the real meat of the story comes in the Clinton Foundation and the things that we don't know yet. And that is the interaction between her time as Secretary of State and the foundation itself, and then and the payment out to the former president for speaking engagements around the world. So I agree with you. If they had chosen to go after the former Virginia governor, I think they would have had a lot of calls to step up that investigation.
Does this now then telegraph what their decision is going to be on that investigation for the Clinton Global Initiative?
Well, I think so. I mean, that letter that you saw from Comey internally telling his FBI officials that, you know, don't second-guess this decision. It wasn't a cliffhanger. You know, I think they're in a defensive crouch, and they've made their decision. We don't know the definitive on the Clinton Foundation investigation and whether even one continues. But if you had to put money on it, I would say it's not going forward.
Yeah, Brett, in the remaining time that we have, Sunday is the 15th anniversary of 9/11. You were obviously there reporting on the events of that day. Just give the audience some reflection on, you know, 15 years, more than a decade later, as we approach the 15th anniversary.
Yeah, you know, it's bittersweet in that we've come a long way, but obviously that day changed the world, and it changed how we looked at the world. I don't think that the terrorist threat has gone down. If anything, it's evolved and changed, but in recent years has increased. And we're hoping to talk about that with Jay Johnson, the Homeland Security Secretary, tonight on Special Report. But the fact that I have this new show that starts at 8 p.m. on Sunday is interesting because 15 years ago, on 9/11, I was called up from Atlanta, and Brian, I was right alongside you outside the burning Pentagon doing reports for affiliates around the country, Fox affiliates, and that started my time in Washington.
Yep.
I then became a national security correspondent for the next 6.5 years, and so for me, 9/11 has, you know, it's both somber and it's where my career really started in Washington.
Yeah, I'll never forget spending that time with you on that day, and we were just sort of looking at each other going, holy moly, what has happened?
Yeah.
And it's hard to believe, Brett, that it's been some 15 years since that day.
And we'll hear those bells toll on you know, at Ground Zero, and it's always emotional when you go through that.
All right, good to have you again, and we'll be watching on Sunday.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
Thanks,
all right, Brett
Baer
from the Fox News Channel. Thanks a lot.